Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Nerd Stash podcast. Well, actually, Nerd Stash show. I keep wanting to call it a podcast for some reason. My name is Michael Mosley, and I am here hosting after taking a week off last week. Thankfully, Riley came in and took over for me because I came down with a bad case of COVID, so I didn't even get a chance to go to my convention last weekend. So that was a bundle of fun right there. Anywho, skipping over all that, I'm also here with Tyler, who was originally our host, but I took over tonight to thank Riley for taking over last week. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty good, man. It sucks that you couldn't go to your convention, especially hope you're recovering pretty well from COVID as well. You also missed one hell of a week last week. And I told Riley that. I was like, of all the weeks for him to request off, you have this little thing called Activision Blizzard being bought by Xbox.
Yeah, that was a huge surprise right there. I don't think anybody had that on their 2022 bingo card. I don't think anybody saw that one coming. Like, everybody was talking about, Microsoft can buy Sega or an Atlas because Sega owns Atlas, and they're going to buy Activision Blizzard King. It's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll get a chance to talk about your thoughts on it somewhat. We have some stories here.
And we have a couple things that'll correlate into that. This is big old episode 91. We are that much close to episode 100. So here's what we have on our docket today. Xbox wants to revive old Activision franchises. We're also going to talk about the future of Call of Duty, which may be a little confusing because, let's face it, anytime Phil Spencer says something, he's very vague about those things.
Very vague or very robotic, which you combine those two things and it's just...
Yeah, it's definitely corporate, but at the same time, it's not. It's really weird. But we also talk about the potential of another Uncharted game. Crysis 4, out of nowhere, got announced. And we have just so much more that we're just going to go ahead and dive right into it. And we're also going to talk about our main topic of the show, which is about some major Star Wars news. Well, just the games, at least. Star Wars game news. So let's start off with what we were just laughing about. Our robotic friend, Phil Spencer, wants to revive old Activision franchises. While speaking with the Washington Post, head of Xbox Phil Spencer expressed an interest in reviving several Activision franchises, including Guitar Hero, after the deal goes through in 2023. Phil said, "I was looking at the IP list. I mean, let's go. King's Quest, Guitar Hero. I should know this, but I think Hexen. I don't even know what Hexen is. Yeah, are you interested in seeing Xbox reviving any of these old franchises? Or is there anyone that you think is a forgotten gem that you would like to see revived?"
Well, I kind of talked about this last week about in terms of what the deal means for the games at Activision Blizzard. And I was really pumped for it because that means, hopefully, you know, Michael, that pretty much every Activision studio is working on Call of Duty right now. In some way, shape, or form. Hopefully this means that it'll finally pull back on all of that shit and we can finally get some studios making possibly some of their old franchises, hopefully some new ones too. Out of that group that he named too, Guitar Hero really strikes out to me. Loved Guitar Hero as a kid, and I think they made one a few years ago that wasn't very great. But I would love to see the franchise come back. I feel like that's one that could always be successful if done right. What about you?
I think King is the only studio not working on Call of Duty. I'm surprised they're not working on Call of Duty.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I was so sure. I was like, I'm pretty sure almost every Activision studio, but just in case.
Yeah, no, every last studio is a Call of Duty studio now, with the exception of King, which continues to just pretty much be their mobile studio, like, cleanup crew. Like, I guess they're just in maintenance mode at this point, because I don't think King is actually working on anything.
Candy Crush, right? aren't they?
I don't know.
See, I need to be a little better in the mobile game scene. I think they're the ones who work on Candy Crush. I'm not totally sure, though.
No, I think that's the biggest thing they're known for. But yeah, I think they're like in just maintenance mode and just working on Candy Crush. And I think they have a second game. I'm not really sure. I don't know anything about the studio. Whoops.
Hey, at least it wasn't me this time. It's usually me who forgets to turn my phone off or to put it on silent.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Nah, it's all good. This isn't a professional podcast at all.
Yeah, right? But, they also own Sierra franchises. So, there's a couple of cool gems that they can bring back. But me, personally, I just want to see another DJ Hero. You know, we only got two of them. And DJ Hero was one of those games I was like, oh, you want to do something that's similar to Guitar Hero, but you want to do it in a new genre. I'm down for that. And back then, I was into, like, the club scene. I was big into EDM and stuff. So, like, to see that kind of game, I thought was pretty cool. And there was another studio that was working on something very similar. They had MF Doom as one of their either producer, or he was big into the game. I think it was Scratch something, but it never saw the light of day. And instead, we got two DJ Hero games. So I'd like to see a DJ Hero revival, because that was just, it was fun, you know. It was different at the time.
Yeah,
and I would like to see them come back with that, because Konami also had a DJ game that they just relegate to only the arcade. So I like to see that come back. More DJ Hero.
Plus, not only like the Guitar Heroes and DJ Heroes, but you also have games like Crash Bandicoot and Spyro. And like I mentioned this last week too, that there was a time where I thought really Xbox was struggling to have mascots other than Master Chief and the Gears characters. I feel like they're really starting to get some now between Doom Guy and Crash Bandicoot and Captain Price, you name it. Like, there's a lot more now.
Which is weird, because if anybody remember the original Xbox days, Microsoft was like trying to find their mascot all over the place. You know, they had Blinks, the Time Sweeper.
And of course, it's always going to be Master Chief, though. It always is.
Yeah, it's going to be Master Chief. But, like, Microsoft, they tried their hands at the mascot game. You know, they wanted a Mario. They wanted a Sonic. And, you know, they had some pretty cool characters.
But they have opportunities to capitalize on them. That's the thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm really excited to see if they bring back any of these franchises. And not even looking at this from just, like, hey, I do like Xbox. I'm an Xbox fan. It's just, I would love to see some, I guess, some extra juice put in Activision Blizzard from a game development standpoint. And we'll talk about our next story, which is Call of Duty, which that's one I'm really hoping get some added juice to it. But I just think as developing goes, new ideas are, I know I just said, won't you bring back old franchise? New ideas, but is something different, you know? I don't think I mean new. I think I just mean, how about you don't do what you've been doing the past 5 years, and let's see if you can put a fresh take on a Spyro or on Guitar Hero, you know?
Well, the thing is, Toys for Bob, you know, they were trying that. You know, they had their chance, and they made a new Crash game that old fans really loved. And then, out of nowhere, they were just being a Call of Duty support studio.
I remember that too. That was what, I feel like it was about a year and some change ago. I was just like, Toys for Bob is relegated to being a Call of Duty support studio. And it's just like, why though? You already got eight developers working on it.
Yeah.
Like, why do you need Toys for Bob, this extra studio that people are saying they don't really fit the mold for what you're even looking for in a support development studio for Call of Duty?
Like, Toys for Bob, I think, would be the perfect studio to do another Spyro game. And I don't understand why Activision was like, man, you guys did such a great job with Crash. Do Call of Duty. Like, No, let them do a Sierra game. Like, let them do Myst. Let them do Spyro. You know, they did a great job. Was it Twister Bobs who worked on Reignited?
I don't know. I could look that up right now if you want to vamp for time.
No, we can move on because okay. we are going to move on to some of the things that people are asking about when it comes to Call of Duty. But just to wrap up, yeah, I think Toys for Bob was the perfect studio that Activision had to make a new Spyro game or to make a new Myst game or any of the
Sierra Toys for Bob games. Is credited here to being the developer for the Reignited trilogy.
Spyro. Okay, see, so yeah, they already had the experience, they had the knowledge. Obviously, they know what they're doing because people love both the remasters that mm-hmm. they made, and they also love Crash 4, About Time. So I don't know. It's really weird that they took a successful studio that they have. It's like, yeah, you're Call of Duty now. Why? And speaking of which, in a report from Bloomberg, it was said that a few Call of Duty games were committed to release on Sony's platform. This commitment was made before Xbox's deal was agreed to, and as Phil Spencer said a week ago, Xbox plans to honor all existing agreements with Sony. This year's Call of Duty, developed by Infinity Ward, is said to be a sequel to 2019's Modern Warfare reboot, which I actually enjoyed, and it was actually the last Call of Duty I enjoyed. And 2023 will reportedly see Treyarch return as the head developer. Moreover, a new iteration of Warzone is reportedly in development as well. I believe that's also set for 2023. I think it's like Warzone 3.0 or something.
Yeah.
Following the Bloomberg report, industry insider Tom Henderson sent out a tweet clarifying a few things regarding the new Warzone. His tweet said, Warzone 2 is literally that. Warzone 2, well, I guess it would be Warzone 2 and not 3.0. It's for current gen and PC only. Whether they're talking about current gen as in the Series X,
Series X, S, and PS5. Yeah, so it would be next gen slash current gen, whatever you want to call it, and whatever you're labeling these new consoles as, essentially.
Yeah, I count them as current gen, but you know, people on the internet, especially Twitter, loves being confused about everything.
Yeah.
Let's see. It's a completely new game for the better hardware. So we probably just talking about the Series X and PS5. No past weapons integrations. So that's gonna be interesting to see. So we have three games that will reportedly release on Sony's platforms. After that, Call of Duty's future is up in the air. On one hand, Phil Spencer has been pretty outspoken about working with Sony to keep this franchise on their platform. However, you can also look at Xbox Bethesda deal and everything that's happened since then. So what are your thoughts on Bloomberg's report and Henderson's report? Also, how do you see this this playing out for Xbox and Sony?
At the end of the day, I hope Call of Duty ends up staying on both Xbox, PlayStation, like multi-platform. I think it would be a huge mistake to make it exclusive, even if it's a big exclusive like that. Because I just think you're just losing out on so much money that could be made from PlayStation. Like, PlayStation sales for Call of Duty are outstanding. And when it comes to these three games, it's kind of what I expected. Like you, I really enjoyed Modern Warfare 2019. It's probably up there, which it feels controversial now. It feels like people, like when the game came out, I feel like it was heralded as like, oh, this Call of Duty is the one. This thing is awesome. And over the years, it's kind of been talked about like it was a crappy Call of Duty game, and I'm not sure why. I thought it really brought a lot of fans back, including myself. But I really enjoyed Modern Warfare. I'm excited for the sequel. Treyarch's game, I do kind of feel bad because I feel like that they've never really had... These studios, they get like a 2-3 year cycle to make these games. It feels like Treyarch's been just asked to help every single year somehow, some way. Whether it was with Black Ops Cold War, they were asked to come in and take over development, and they made it into Black Ops Cold War. So hopefully whatever 2023 is ends up being a lot better than Black Ops Cold War. And after that, 2023 and Warzone 2, I'm just hoping that they take a step back. You know, we just talked about what, 8, 9 studios that are working on Call of Duty, Michael. I'm really hoping that they just take a step back. I think developers have already talked about, like, oh, can we stop doing the annual releases? And I'm hoping that's exactly what they do, because this franchise could use a little bit of air to it, you know?
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same boat as you. I think that developers do need to take a step back, and that I think Microsoft will give them that chance. Microsoft has done a pretty decent job of letting studios just be them. And
what we've seen from Bethesda so far, you're 100% right. It seems like nothing has really, I don't want to say changed, but it's not like Xbox micromanaging them every step of the way. So yeah, that's a great sign of what's to come for the Activision Blizzard deal in terms of game development.
Yeah, and I think that's gonna be the big thing about this acquisition, but with Microsoft now pretty much owning Call of Duty, I think we're gonna continue to see Call of Duty on PlayStation. Microsoft, they know that PlayStation is a big market for Call of Duty. They're gonna want Call of Duty on there because of the microtransactions that they can potentially make off the Sony platform with the multiplayer, especially with Warzone. And for them, they don't really lose out on much because, hey, we can throw Call of Duty on Game Pass, which pretty much guaranteed that Xbox players are going to be there and they're going to play, and PC players are going to be there and they're going to play. And since they didn't have to spend money on the game, they'll be more inclined to the microtransaction. It'll feel more like a free-to-play for them, so they won't mind spending money that way. And with the PlayStation ecosystem, that's already a guarantee. It's a big seller on PlayStation. Even Vanguard, I think it was like, what, the number one selling
I believe it was number one selling on PlayStation 5.
Yeah. So, you know, it would be foolish for Microsoft to take it off that platform. They're going to put on as many as they can. In fact, I think we might even see Call of Duty come back to Nintendo.
Here's the thing, too, Michael. You said it'd be foolish for them. You also got to look at it from the public opinion standpoint, too. I think Xbox over the past few years has done a phenomenal job of, like, really improving their stance with gamers. Especially after the 2013 fiasco with E3 and announcing the Xbox One. I feel like over the past few years, they've been very like, hey, Game Pass, here's everything you're getting here. We want you to be able to play games everywhere. And yeah, with Elder Scrolls, with Starfield, with, what's that game, Redfall? From Arcane, is that what's called, Redfall?
Yeah.
With all those games, they're going to be on Xbox and not PlayStation. And that's cool and all. But at the same time, those are these single players or co-op experiences. Well, you just said Call of Duty is such a major seller for PlayStation. I feel like by putting that exclusively on Xbox, if you complete your arrangement with Sony and then you go, all right, you know, we're washing our hands with this, we're done with it, I think that'd just be a massive mistake, because not only would you lose out on that money, but now you are the assholes who took Call of Duty away from PlayStation, when people might actually start to get more excited for the future of Call of Duty because they might be going away from an annual release schedule, and we might be seeing more cool innovations compared to what's happened the past few years since Modern Warfare 2019.
Well, I don't know if we'll see more innovation in Call of Duty, but I think what we will see is more support for the multiplayer, because, you know, we're used to them supporting the multiplayer for a year and then we move on to the next game, and they support that for a year and then move to the next game. I think with this one, after 2023, 2024, we'll start to see maybe like they're trying to do with Halo. I think Call of Duty might go to more of a live service kind of deal. I know people might not like the way that sounds, but that's where Microsoft is pushing a lot of stuff.
The way I just look at it in my, like, naive brain, you can just look at it as if take Black Ops Cold War, right? The last Call of Duty, not Vanguard, because we're not done with that development cycle. Black Ops Cold War had a few seasons, and then it stopped, and now we're on to Vanguard, right? I kind of just thought if they were to get away from annual release, you just extend the seasons. And there you go. And you can like you said, you can do more with the multiplayer, you can do more with your third mode, whatever it is. The same with the campaign. I'm not saying, like, oh my god, this franchise is going to be the best thing ever, and there's going to be all these innovations, but it does leave that opportunity up to be like, hey, we're not making a game every year. We don't have to pretty much try to emulate what players we think they want. And we can take a little more time in the brainstorming sessions, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I still think that's where Microsoft is going. I think they're going more live service. And, you know, with Call of Duty, now they have their shooters covered. They got Halo, they got Doom, they have Call of Duty.
They got Gears,
which means now they're pretty much, their only real big competition is Battlefield, and even Battlefield's trying to copy Call of Duty and Overwatch.
Now, I want to talk about this real quick, because we're going to talk about EA, but I wanted to bring this up because I thought it was kind of hilarious. So it came out last week, I think, when that deal got announced, and I believe the next day or so it said that EA was also in the mix to purchase Activision Blizzard. What do you make of that? Because I kept thinking, oh god, what would have happened with Battlefield? Would they have just said screw Battlefield going forward, or would they have, like, these two franchises, I feel like they're too close to coexist under the same publisher.
You know, I would say that would be hyperbole, but you also have to remember, once EA acquired DICE, they kind of dropped Medal of Honor in favor of Battlefield. So, yeah, I could kind of see that happening, to be honest. It's sad, but in fact, I could see a Call of Duty Battlefield mix. Like, I could see them doing
crossover.
Like a crossover, like, it's Call of Duty.
Call of Battlefield.
It's Call of Duty, but with Battlefield Sense of Destruction. Running on the DICE engine. It's like, oh, well.
Call of Battlefield Medal of Honor. There we go.
Ooh, Call of Honor Battlefield.
There you go. Okay. I like that.
EA's writing it all down. It's going to be their new VR game.
Oh, God. Let's hope they don't.
All right. But we were talking about earlier about franchises we like to see come back. How about franchises that continue?
Wow, you were... I was listening to you a few weeks ago, and I know I'm ruining it now, but you were kind of struggling with the transitions. You were on fire today. There you go, man.
Yeah, Riley said I get used to it. I guess this is going to be the episode I do a good job of it. But could we see another Uncharted game? Games Radar recently had an interview with Naughty Dog, Sean, and I'm not going to try to say the last name, so I'm terrible with that, with Sean and Kurt, to get a little more specific.
S-K-G? That's how you pronounce it?
You know, I'm bad with names that's not like Michael or John.
Sean S-K-G and Kurt Marganow. Now, I might have butchered those names. I do apologize. I hope I did not.
Cool. I'll let you butcher it instead. To get a little more specific, Sean was the creative director of Uncharted 4 and Lost Legacy, both which just saw a re-release. And Kurt was the co-lead of Uncharted 4 and the game director of Lost Legacy. In the interview, Sean was asked about the potential of Uncharted 5 and another spinoff with a new character as the lead. And this is what he had to say. Uncharted is a franchise we love, the studio loves, I love it, and Kurt loves it. It's a world we want to see more of, so I can certainly say that. Do you think we'll ever see another Uncharted game? And if so, do you think the focus will be on Nathan Drake, Chloe, or a new character?
I would love to see the franchise come back. I really, really loved Uncharted 4, which was actually my first foray into this franchise. And, surprisingly, I kind of thought it was a decent jumping on point, which, a franchise that I learned through both watching and playing the earlier titles that gets a little more supernatural. Playing the fourth one that's a little more grounded in a way. You know, you still have the crazy set pieces and shit, but there's no zombies in Uncharted 4. So from going to Uncharted 4 to the earlier ones is freaking hilarious. But I'd love to see a new game. I don't know if I want to... I love Nathan Drake. I felt like his story was so good, though. Uncharted 4, I don't know if I want it back. Maybe with a new character. I didn't play Lost Legacy, so I don't know how great that was. I do know people love Chloe. I enjoy Chloe as a character, too, but I need to go back and play Uncharted 2 because I know she's a major focus in that game.
Okay, so I love the Uncharted franchise. I've been there since Uncharted 1. That was like the game that sold the PS3 to me. And I was like, good God, this is an Indiana Jones movie. I'm playing an Indiana Jones movie. So I was used to the supernatural stuff, the lost art kind of stuff that they had going on. And, you know, the mystical aspects of ancestors and gods and whatnot. So Uncharted 4 being a little more grounded in Lost Legacy, I was like, oh, okay. It doesn't hit the same, but...
It feels weird to say grounded and Uncharted in the same sense. Like, everybody listening, I hope you know what we mean. This is not a game franchise that anybody will ever call realistic. We're just saying in terms of... certain elements to it.
Yeah, no, this is definitely a Hollywood movie that you get to play. Yeah, so I love the Uncharted franchises. To be honest, I want them to be done. I don't want them to continue Drake's story. I don't want them to continue with Sully. I want it to be done. Uncharted 4 was a good ending. It was a good stopping point.
Would you be fine with a new character? Like, yes. Entirely? I only want to say, like, Nathan Drake's daughter. Spoiler for Uncharted 4. But, yeah, it's an old game. But the character doesn't have to be tied to Nathan Drake, you know? I wouldn't mind them just going off and doing a new story, too.
No, they definitely can. Lost Legacy is proof of that. Like, yeah, okay, they still brought up Drake and his brother, but, you know...
They're from the Uncharted universe. Awesome, they're from that main story arc, too. So,
yeah.
I'm with you. I don't want to, just because it was so perfect. If it was like a Dexter-like ending, to where people were just so unsatisfied with it, then sure, bring Nathan Drake back. Let's do it. But the fact that I just think this was such a great ending for the character, I'm good. Because sometimes we see, I think I've seen enough to where, like, oh, that was great. Great way to end it. And then the character gets brought back in some kind of way. And then it just kind of dilutes that ending, you know? It's okay for things to end. It really is.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, we've already had, like, 5 games with Nathan Drake. We know about his young days, his experience days. We know about him being a kid.
If you want more Nathan Drake, let's focus on making a great Nathan Drake movie or series. And by the way, the movie coming out in a few weeks.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I don't know if I want to watch that, to be honest.
I like Tom Holland. I feel like he's got some of the mannerisms down in Nathan Drake. Yeah, no, he has some of the reactions. I'm just so not impressed with Mark Wahlberg's Sully. Like, to the point where I'm not sure that's Sully. I know he is, but still.
It really feels like Tom Holland playing Tom Holland, and, you know, Marky Mark's being Marky Mark. You know, they're hired for their charm, but it isn't, I don't know, Tom Holland doesn't really seem like he's playing Nathan. It's really weird. It's strange, I know, but that's just the way I feel about it, and I think that's why I'm not excited for this movie, because yeah. It's like, yeah, I'm not really into this. And I think it might be because I'm done with Drake's story and I'm happy with the way that they told it. So I don't think this movie, if it came out like 5 years ago, yeah, maybe that'd be pretty cool. But now
it's like still just late. Like Uncharted 4 came out in 2016. So it still feels like even 6 years, it still feels relatively close to the way that the video game franchise ended. And it feels like they're doing things differently. Like they're trying to switch around some stuff. and yeah, have this really be a prequel to the or the origin story for Nathan Drake, which is fine. I wouldn't want it to be directly adapted. But at the same time, I think one of the problems I have with it, and I know we're off track now, we're just talking about Uncharted now as the movie that's about to release.
It still counts.
But I think the thing that's been getting me is they keep showing this plane scene, the action sequence, which is pretty good. I actually really like it. I think it's very Uncharted. It's from Uncharted 3. Like, I really enjoy that scene. But I want to see more of Tom Holland as Nathan Drake. I want to see more of the, like, if you're going to show a scene of him and the charm that he's supposed to have, because that's what I'm concerned about. It's Hollywood, man. Like, they can nail the action sequences. I'm not worried about that. I'm more worried about performances, because we've talked about, like, Nerds Talk Movies and even this show, like, you have Nathan Fillion, who's great in that fan movie of Uncharted. You got Nolan North voicing him, like, two incredible actors.
Well, the thing is, you gotta take their age into consideration, unfortunately.
And, oh, true.
Tom Holland is that young baby face actor, so they're like, oh, we can do young Nathan Drake, and we can do so many sequels, because Tom Holland, as he gets older, we can do older Drake. So, I get it. But, no, I don't want to see any more Nathan Drake, okay? I want a new character if you're going to continue doing Uncharted, because it's already by lore that there are a lot of people, a lot of treasure hunters like Nathan. So I would like to see them try new characters, because, man, the more Uncharted we get, yes, please, but I would like to see them do what they did with Lost Legacy and focus on other characters and have their history told. Yeah. Because the world of Uncharted is filled with all kinds of wonders and treasure hunters who know their stuff, who's just as dangerous as Nathan, is just as smart. And, you know, it'd be kind of cool to see the legacy, in a way, that Nathan leaves behind as, like, younger people learn about the mystic that is Nathan Drake and the Foley that he left behind and whatnot. It'd be kind of cool that, yeah, you know, you can see newer generation that follows behind people like Nathan and Chloe.
Speaking of legacies, though, let's talk about the legacy of Crysis, man.
Ah, yes. The game franchise that people love to run on their new PCs no matter what, just so they can say, can it run Crysis?
I thought about calling this episode Can It Run Crysis? But I was like, it's not that big a story. It's not worth it, but still.
I mean, but it is, because that's what people do, especially since NVIDIA announced a couple of new GPUs. People are definitely going to try to run Crytek on it. I mean, not Crytek, but Crysis on it. But with that said, Crytek has officially announced Crysis 4. There's an announcement trailer, but honestly, it pretty much just serves as a way to announce the game. So, just a quick and easy. Are you hyped for Crysis 4? Are you excited that there's finally going to be a fourth game in what pretty much felt like a trilogy?
I don't want to say I'm incredibly hyped. I really like the Crysis franchise. It's not something I'm dying to play, but I'm sure the more and more we see, you got to imagine this is going to be a next-gen only kind of game. So, oh, damn. What are they going to come up with here? But I'm kind of excited to see what they're going to do with it. Story-wise, gameplay-wise, I find the world of Crysis very interesting, too. And of all the movies and TV shows, too, I really thought Crysis would be done by now on the big screen or small screen.
Yeah, you know, it was ripe for it. You know, you have a super suit that can armor itself up or turn invisible. I think Hollywood would be all over something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, it seems really perfect for that kind of thing. So, I'm pumped for it in a way. It's just not something that I was like, oh shit, yes, yeah, another Crysis game. Cannot fucking wait. Instead, it's just like, oh, Crysis 4. And I'll be on the lookout for that.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I was like, okay, why? That's my big question. Why? Like, was anybody clamoring for a Crysis 4? like, I don't know, people still talk about Crysis because, you know, like we said, it's become like pretty much a meme in a way. It's like, can your PC run Crysis 4?
And that's not to say the franchise isn't good. It's a very, very good franchise.
Well, the thing, well, I'm saying is, like, it's not like a new Doom or new Wolfenstein being announced. Like, if something like that, people are like, oh, snaps, finally, we're getting a new one. Crysis, it's just Crysis. It's like, okay, it was cool because it was Crytek showing off, like, what their engine can do, and that was pretty cool. But all
the story,
all,
it's so, it's just fun. It's forgettable. It's different. Yeah, but it's that kind of like, oh, you're in this superpowered suit. You're kind of this super soldier. You can do things how you want here. Go in stealthily. Go in guns a-blazing. Like, you are pretty much, you're hunting down these people. It's not the other way around, despite you being outnumbered the entire time. There's something about that that's like really cool. But at the same time, I kind of agree with you. It's still like, okay, that, and it felt like an ended to me.
I think that's what made Crysis such a cool series was, like you said, you were actually the hunter, and
which I think was going around kind of one of the taglines of part three with you and the bow and arrow. And
yeah, that's like their big selling points, like this crossbow. You get to like not the guns, not the suit, there's the crossbow. Yeah. This is our big selling points. Like, goodness gracious, you guys have
bow and arrow was
really
awesome,
run out of ideas.
I remember playing Crysis 3. That was a pretty fun time.
Actually, I still have Crysis 3 on my 360 in a box somewhere.
I feel like we've been pretty negative on it. It's also something that maybe a great idea was brought up. Who knows what the reason was to bring the franchise back. There's probably also a lot of Crysis fans out there who love the franchise. So it's not that I'm personally, I don't know about you, Michael, it's not that I'm personally down on it and being like, I don't know, we shouldn't even brought it back. Just one of those things that's like, I want to see more, because what's in our rundown, what you said about the announced trailer showing nothing, there's also a blog post about it that also says pretty much nothing other than we're making this game, and I think it's going to be I think they said it was going to be a truly next-gen shooter. And to that, I just go, yeah, it's just like, oh, that's awesome. That's really vague, too. And I know they had nothing to share, so what are they going to do? But this is one of those, we'll talk about it in a few months or whenever they have the next update.
Yeah, I don't understand why they... Well, I mean, I get it. Crytek doesn't really have anything other than Crysis. So I guess Crytek was like, hey, we're super proud of ourselves for working on this. Please be excited. Yeah, okay. Who asked for this? Who asked for another Crysis? Nobody, that's who. It's like prototype coming out of nowhere. It's like, why? Like, okay, why is this a thing? Why are you guys still doing this? But no, I'm sure in about a year my tone will change if they show something really cool and I'm like, oh yeah, we're getting Crysis 4. Let's go.
You ready to go into our main topic?
Sure thing. So EA recently announced that Respawn Entertainment will be working on 3 new Star Wars games. One would be the next installment in Jedi Fallen Order series. Respawn is also working on a new first-person shooter game and a strategy game. What are your thoughts on Respawn Entertainment leading the charge for these new games?
When it comes to these 3 games from Respawn, I love Respawn. I feel like they've knocked it out of the park with, I think, everything that I played from them, to be honest with you. Apex is a great game, even though I don't play it much anymore. The Titanfalls are fantastic. Titanfall 2 especially. Everybody believes it's such an underrated gem. And it really is. And Jedi Fallen Order is great. Like, in that time where everybody was giving up on EA, Jedi Fallen Order just falls into their lap and they're like, here it is. A single-player Star Wars experience that's really fun and unique. You know, it's not really that unique. But you know what I mean. But when it comes to these 3 games, I'm pumped for it. There's a first-person shooter they're making. There's a sequel. Not supposedly, but you would have to figure that's a sequel to Jedi Fallen Order. And not like a spinoff. And a strategy game. All 3 of those sound great to me. But that's a lot to put on a studio.
I really do think EA is kind of putting too much on Respawn.
And well, you know why? You know why?
What's that?
It's because Respawn has proven that they are fucking fantastic.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
And that is like pretty much EA going like, you are the A-team now, so we're going to lean on you. Probably way too much, but we're going to do it because everything that we have given you, you've turned into fucking gold.
Yeah, especially since EA gave them free reign on Apex and it became one of their biggest games like like ever. That's not Battlefield. And well, I think the strategy game, I think former Fireaxis employees are working on that as well. I think they're so you know, you got some experienced people working on that one. I don't know what strategy game they're going to make with Star Wars, but a Respawn strategy game, I'm pretty much down for that. It might be more like an XCOM thing. I don't know. I could definitely see a Star Wars XCOM like game from them. But oh man, I'm trying to remember, there was a game that I used to love back on the original Xbox. Star Wars Republic Commando. Did you ever play that game?
Never played it, but it's been sitting in my ready to install on Xbox for about 4 or 5 years.
I
have no idea how it even got there, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I think it's part of the EA Play deal with Game Pass Ultimate. I don't know if you have that or not. But I would recommend playing it. If it's on your Xbox, ready to install, I would recommend playing it. It is definitely one of those Star Wars games that was underrated and like that came and went. And it's like, if it wasn't for the internet, you would swear it was a fever dream. Because it was a tactical first-person game where you took over as a commander of a set of stormtroopers. Were they clone troopers? Oh, I forget which one. They might be clones. They might be clone troopers. And you were able to give out orders. It was a first-person shooter, but there's also a little bit of strategy put in there. The AI was okay. And, you know, for back in that time, if I remember correctly, it wasn't too bad. It was a little challenging. And I would actually like to see Respawn redo Republic Commando or make a sequel or I don't know. But if they're doing a first-person shooter for Star Wars, I think it might be Republic Commando.
Tell you what, though, that's one of the best parts of this story to me is the fact that Respawn Entertainment got the games. Like, it might end up being too much for the studio. I hope it isn't. I hope that they crush all three of them. But the fact, for real, that this studio has become, in my opinion, EA's A studio. Like, they're the ace. They are the studio you're going to go to for a banger. So, that's such a cool story.
Yeah, so far, they've been knocking out of the park, you know, this dude don't miss. He's good. I don't know. This dude so don't far, miss. This guy don't miss. And that's why I'm so scared for Respawn, because EA has that history of when you become a great studio, EA loves to just pound away at that studio until like all their talent leaves or they run out of ideas. Because I was afraid that Respawn would just be the Apex studio now, because we already know that we're not getting Titanfall 3. Now we know we're never getting Titanfall
3. Oh, yeah. I feel bad for Titanfall fans who are wishing for that Titanfall 3. Because,
man, I was waiting.
This announcement really it crushed it. It crushed any of your hopes for another one. Unless all of a sudden they say, well, we're done with Apex for a while. I can't imagine another Titanfall happening. But you look at what they do with Titanfall, and you think about what they could do with a Star Wars game. And it gives me, like, I talked about in the Crisis story, like, yeah, I'm not all that pumped for it. I'm not all that excited. It's pretty cool. This is the opposite. I'm really fucking excited to see what they could do with this. Like, just Titanfall with Star Wars. I'm good. Let's do it. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. To be honest, I actually wanted Respawn to work on like a Gundam game. That'd be kind of cool. But this is the next best thing. I really am excited to see what Respawn can do and what they have planned, because
Stormtroopers
Fallen
can call in
Order,
AT-ATs like Titans.
you know what? I would be down for that. Like, it'll be the one time
Dude, I'm
that
getting
I
so hyped for this game.
like we know nothing about it. Like, there's no
I know.
name, there's no title. We're sitting here talking
No
about what they
name of the
could
game,
do.
no. All we know is a genre of two of these games, and we know that there's going to be the next iteration of Jedi Fallen Order. I don't think we're talking about that enough either. For Fallen Order that everybody thought was a great single player experience, what people been wanting. And we're going to get a sequel to that. Pretty cool. I'm pretty picky about strategy games too, so and this sounds, again, we don't know anything about it. We just know Respawn's making a strategy game. And even with that, I'm like, shit, I'm down. Those are three distinctly different games. Let's see what you got.
Yeah, so would you want it to be an XCOM-like game?
I would say, I don't know if this is going to be controversial, but my favorite strategy-like game is like Halo Wars and Halo Wars 2. So I
Yeah,
would really want it to be something like that.
man, okay, that
I
makes sense.
also
Yeah, I
love
mean, I can see
Civilization
it.
games, but that's a different kind of strategy game. So,
Oh, could you imagine if they did make like a Sims game, like that kind of simulated game, to where you are part of the Republic and like you're taking
you
over
have to build it.
areas?
Oh, that would be pretty cool too. So, yeah, I mean, whatever they end up doing, it's going to, because the thing that keeps I keep coming back to with this story is these are three distinctly different games. I'm wondering what Respawn's gonna do with each of them. Like, where do you go with Fallen Order after the first game? Where do you go with FPS games? Are you gonna dig into that Titanfall well more and more, which I hope they do? And with the strategy game, like you just said, Michael, what are you gonna get more XCOM with it? Like, so many options here, and I really love it.
Hey, dude, and speaking of options, there are so many options of games that you can play nowadays, whether you have Game Pass or you rent your games. So tell me, what are you playing?
So I've been playing a little game that hit Game Pass called Rainbow Six Extraction. And let me tell you,
Okay,
Michael.
please do, because I haven't played Rainbow Six Siege and Extraction. I'm afraid when I saw it looked a little boring. Even though it's on Game Pass, so please tell me that Extraction is at least fun to play.
I'm a player of Rainbow Six Siege sometimes, occasionally, whenever I play it until it gets too toxic to the point to where people start killing me and I get a dumb message telling me I suck at the game and I should kill myself. That's when I usually go, well, that's enough Rainbow Six for a good 6 months. So I'm just gonna go ahead and hop off and play some, I don't know, something else, Madden, GTA, other toxic games for other reasons. Let me tell you about this little game called Rainbow Six Extraction. So this thing's based off a game mode event from Siege back in the day. Loved that event. It was great. Fantastic. There's some things about this game that I like. For example, you have all these operators, right? And whenever you go into a map, you get three objectives you can do. You complete an objective, you can extract, or you can go into the second zone. And if you go into the other zones, you get more XP. Now, if you are too injured during a mission, or if you die, you will not be able to play as that operator. If you're too injured, that means the operator's gonna be on the shelf for a few games, you're gonna have to play as a different operator. If you die as that operator, you will be captured by the aliens, and you're gonna have to use another operator to go in, and one of the missions in each zone. Will be one of those missions will be you have to rescue the operator that got captured. So that part of the game is really damn cool. When I loaded into the game, there was a cinematic and I got to see all the operators from Siege, and it was cool seeing these operators in this different light where I'm like, oh, there's gonna be this cool story. I can't wait to play it. We're gonna get more character development with these characters. I'm gonna be able to go back to Siege in a different light and maybe play as a character that I really loved from Extraction. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, Michael, there's no fucking story in this game from what I played. Pretty much after that opening cutscene, I don't think I see another one. Like, so, this thing seems like a... It's fun at times. I like the fact that it's more stealthy. It doesn't really feel like a Left 4 Dead kind of, like, oh, just kill the aliens, complete the objective. You're supposed to be a little stealthy with it, a little tactical. You're supposed to complete these objectives as quietly as possible sometimes. And that's really cool. But a lot of these objectives and a lot of these maps, they're just, oh, so fucking boring. There's no other way to put it.
No, oh, gee, that sounds disappointing because Extraction I was kind of interested in because...
Now, last thing before I just open it up to you, I will say this. The fact that it's on Game Pass, you can probably get a lot of fun out of it. I don't want to say a lot. You can get some fun out of it. Maybe it's just not a game that sadly is for me. I thought it would be, but it's just it hasn't really hooked me in. But maybe I'm just being a little too harsh on it. Maybe this is a game for other people, and that's perfectly fine. But it being on Game Pass for sure, it's worth a try, I think.
So do I need to actually know about Rainbow Six Siege or know how to play that before I get this one? Or do you think it'd be like a pretty good standalone?
Not really, I don't think. Other than the fact that you are trying to be stealthy. And if you're playing solo, don't recommend it. This is a team-based kind of thing. I was playing with a friend and somebody else joined our party. And it was really difficult because it was like a friend of a friend. And I was trying to say the entire time we were in the game, it's only three players. And I'm trying to tell, like, hey, we need to be silent here. And the friend of a friend is just going into each room loud as fucking possible. And we're just getting swarmed by aliens. And the entire time I'm like, I'm losing health right now. We could have done this so much easier. I probably have more fun right now. Instead, this just feels like a worse version of Left 4 Dead, but somehow better than Back 4 Blood. I don't know how that works.
Yikes. Okay, so yeah, I'm most likely not going to end up playing Extraction because if I need to rely on somebody else in order to make it through the game, I played enough Left 4 Dead and Back 4 Blood, and I avoided Rainbow Six Siege because of how toxic the community is. So I don't think I want to go into Extraction without a couple of friends who play, which I don't have any. I think I only have one buddy who plays Siege, and I don't even know if he plays Extraction. So that's good to know. So yeah, I'm going to avoid Extraction. So okay, before we move on to my thing, what would be your recommendation for Extraction? Like, do you recommend just with friends or
friends and Game Pass? If you had some friends who want to play the game and you have Game Pass, download it, give it a try. If you're out there like, should I buy the game? Don't really recommend it. Keep in mind, I'm not reviewing the game. So I have not right. spent a ton of hours here. But besides the point, what have you been playing?
Well, I've been having a bit more fun than you, apparently. I'm actually playing two games that have actually just hit Game Pass not too long ago. I am playing Death's Door. And I'm also playing the Hitman trilogy.
I thought you were going to say another game because Riley put me on a game last week. I didn't mention this here because I haven't played much of it. But have you heard of a game called Nobody Saves the World?
No, I haven't heard of that one.
It's on Game Pass. I really thought that's what you were going to say. Really fun game from what I've played so far. But I haven't played enough to talk about it. So continue. What have you been playing this week?
Okay, well, now I'm interested. Now I gotta look that game up. I'm gonna have to look that game up. But yeah, Taiko Drum also just hit Game Pass. I wanna play Taiko Drum, even though I have a physical Taiko Drum in my room, but whatever. But yeah, I'm playing Death's Door, a game that I was excited for, but forgot released, oddly enough, and never picked up. And now it's on Game Pass. I'm playing it via the PC, where it's a Soul-like. No, it's not Soul-like. I'm sorry. It's a rogue-like game. Jeez Louise. And you play a little crow who happens to be a reaper. And you lose your one big soul, to another crow who is up to something. And I'm not going to spoil it here. And now you have to go around and reap three other big souls in order to solve this mystery about this door that apparently cannot be opened by any other Reaper. It is super fun. The mapping is a little confusing. You can easily get lost because, man, these are some pretty sprawled out maps. But it's adorable and it's fun. And the last time I played, I was eating tentacle soup or something as a crow. So that's not something you hear about every day. And there's also the Hitman trilogy, which I was never good at any of the Hitman games. I'm terrible at them. The first level alone, it took me 1 hour and 58 minutes to finish because I was walking around collecting every bit of clue and story beat I can get. So I would never stream that game. I'm terrible. Nobody wants to watch 2 hours of me playing one level. But I have always been interested in the Hitman series, despite not being very good at them. And this gives me a chance to go all the way back to 1, finish Hitman 1, actually play Hitman 2, and get into Hitman 3. So that's been my week, actually. I've been playing that all week.
I never could get into the Hitman series. I find them so fascinating, though. And all the unique ways you can go through and complete a mission. So
yeah. Yeah,
I've thought about downloading it, though, over the past few weeks.
I recommend it.
I might. See, the problem is with my Series X is storage. And every time I say, you're out of storage, would you like to free up some room? I go to it, I'm like, nah, it ain't fucking worth it. I'm back out to say cancel.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I have my Xbox One X is like over 30 games that needs to be updated. I was like, well, I guess I'm not playing that game today. And then I forget all about it. And then when I come back, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's an old game I used to play. And then I see the update, and I'm like, yep, not playing it anymore. Never mind. So, yeah, these updates can be real annoying. But yeah, for the Hitman trilogy, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I've always been super interested in them, but I've never been good enough to actually, like, be into the game. And it's a pretty nice way to kill 2 hours. You know, the game doesn't punish you for taking your time. In fact, it encourages you to take your time. So I never really feel like the game is rushing me to beat some kind of record. But it has so many ways for you to do things that it does encourage you to go back and play the levels multiple times, which for me, I don't do. After I finish the level one time, I'm kind of done because I've seen things. Like that's each level is so intricate that you could go back and replay them and find something new. But because I take my time and try to find every last little location, I kind of waste the mystic views of the levels. So I see everything and I don't want to go back. So yeah, I definitely get what you mean of not being able to get into it. But it is fascinating enough to where I think the trilogy is a great way to at least see if you could enjoy the games.
Nice. I might eventually free up some storage space. Maybe I'll delete Extraction eventually. I want to get a few more hours into it. I feel like I was pretty harsh on this podcast, and we'll see. Maybe my opinion might change, but I got a lot of work to do on these podcasts here. So who knows when I'll be playing a video game again? Probably the end of this weekend or so.
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, like, we're Nerdstash, you know. We enjoy games and movies and anime. We also enjoy you joining our Discord, which you can find in the link in the description. And if you like what you heard, consider subscribing to our podcast or just leave us a rating. It will also be great if it was a favorable review. Hey, we're not saying you have to, you know, no pressure, but, you know it helps us out a little bit, you know.
Well, as the co-host of Nerds Talk Movies likes to say, Tristan Benz, if it's not a positive review, just don't even do it. Just, you know, we don't want to hear your negative opinions. Now, his opinions on this does not reflect the views of this show. So, we appreciate any constructive criticism at all, if you do have any. But we do prefer if it's a favorable review, if you like what you heard here.
Yes, especially if you share with your friends. If you don't want to review it, that's fine. Share with your friends. Let them do it for you. Let them give us a favorable review. It'll help us out tremendously. And also, don't forget to check out thenerdstash.com. Hey, that's where we're from. You can hear about our podcast. You also see the podcast, hear about the podcast of the Nerds Talk Movie, which, oh, isn't there a certain somebody on that show as well?
Yeah, it might be, you know, yours truly over here, who is the usual host or co-host of that podcast, depending on the type of episode. You could also, on thenerdstash.com, find all sorts of gaming news, movie news, TV news, you name it, they have it there. There are reviews, there's opinion pieces, all sorts of stuff, and you should definitely check them out if you got the time and want to learn more about some stuff going on in the gaming industry or movie industry.
Yeah. All right. So, Tyler, I'd like to thank you for joining me. I know last week was supposed to be my hosting week. So again, Riley, thank you for taking over for me. Thanks to everyone who's listening in. We appreciate you, whether this is your first time, your 91st time, your 30th time, it doesn't matter. We thank you for listening in. And we'll see you all next week for episode 92.